Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. And when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate, the point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Deal. What's going on? Tuesday night vibe right here. The man's in the building, GQ Palace. After further review is in the eardrum. You know what it is. Talk sports every Tuesday night. It goes down hard body right here. Yeah, there's a lot going on. First of all, I want to give a shout out to the Lakers, man. They doing what they're supposed to be doing right now. So I'm expecting we're going to talk it up about them. We're going to get into a thing about the Knicks. Shout out to GQ Palace, man. My man Rich holding down the whole situation. You know what I mean? Miss Lavina on the bell, on the applause and all that. You know what I mean? Everything's everything. You know, another week gone by. You know what I mean? Lot going on, man. Free agency started at 4 o'clock. You know what I mean? And it's going crazy with it already. You know, Mike Wallace, he left the Steelers. He went to Miami. You know what I mean? And like, as soon as 4 o'clock hit, man, it was a wrap. You know what I mean? Everybody was doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's a lot of moves that have been made. As opposed to yesterday when Percy Harvin went from the Vikings to Seattle. And Anquan Boldin, who just was playing in the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens, he went to the 49ers. So it's crazy. Everybody's going to be, you know, it's going down in the NFL. Everybody's going all over the place. The money's out there, and you know, they're going to get that money. Tony Gonzalez, he's going to stay. You know what I mean? He said he was going to retire after the season was over, but whatever. And he's going to be back. He's going to give it one more go for Atlanta Falcons. And I'm expecting to hear from T tonight. I want to hear her opinion on Naomi Osamuah getting released by the Eagles. He was just garbage from the door. But I really don't want to get into too much football because it's basketball season, you know what I mean? And, you know, the World Baseball Classic is going on. Expecting to hear from a couple of people in regards to the Knicks tape, you know what I mean? We're going to talk about the Knicks a little bit tonight. But basically, man, and B-Hop, shout out to Bernard Hopkins for doing his thing on Saturday night, you know what I mean? And, you know, they say, I think that, you know, Bernard, you know, really gets up for, you know, his moments, you know what I mean? And he really, really means it when he says he's going to handle his business. And, you know, you can't take nothing away from him for doing what he says he's going to do. And, you know, he, you know, was real adamant about, you know, wanting to shut Don King down, you know what I mean? And basically he just kind of like really, really just did that, you know. And he really fought a great fight against Tavares Clyde on Saturday night. If you didn't get a chance to peep it, check it on demand on HBO. I mean, from the opening bell, you know, through the 12 rounds, it was all B-Hop all the time. You know, and even Tavares Clyde was so frustrated, and you know he was getting, you know, put on, you know, he was getting the Super Bowl was put on him. You know, he thought that Bernard Hopkins was hitting him with an elbow when it was clear that, you know, he hit it with a punch that opened that cut over his eye. And then by the end of the fight, he had cuts over both his eyes. So, you know, you can't take nothing away from Bernard Hopkins. You know, 48 years old, he broke his own record by becoming the oldest man to win a world title. So, you know, he's handling his business every time, you know what I mean? And even though he speaks his mind, he says what he's going to say, he handles his business. So shout out to Bernard Hopkins. But I just heard yesterday that a fight is supposed to be in the makings with Adrian Broner. That's the new the new guy over there at HBO since Floyd with the Showtime. He's supposed to be fighting Paulie Malignaggi. I'm not really understanding that. You know what I mean? It's not really, you know, Malignaggi, he ducked Sugar Shane Mosley was going to come back to, you know, beat this dude. Malignaggi's really nothing special. I don't really see nothing from him. He's just a dude that got a little flash with me from Brooklyn, whatever, whatever. But, you know, I really don't see nothing outstanding with Paulie Malignaggi. You know, and I think Adrian Broner is going to, you know, beat the brakes off of that dude. You know what I mean? And you know, and I just don't know why that's a fight that, you know, should be made. I think he's just in it for a payday. You know, Broner's going to, you know, put the beats on him. But that's what it is in the boxing game, man. It's really about boxing. It's kind of like it's dead. You know, there's nothing really going on in boxing. But I just wanted to holler and shout out and acknowledge Bernard Hopkins for doing what he did at the Barclays Center Saturday night with a decision win over Tavoris Cloud. 646-200-3838 is the number, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You know what it is. GQ Power Sports, after further review, is in the building. World Baseball Classic, man. United States is trying to do their numbers, man. I don't know. The team that they got is not really a powerhouse monster team. They got, you know, some guys on there, you know, David Wright from the Mets, Adam Jones from the Orioles, R.A. Dickey from Toronto. You know, the knuckleball dude. But I really don't, you know, I hope they, you know, do what they're supposed to do. They're in Miami right now playing against Puerto Rico. The game just started as we went on the air. Just started. So Puerto Rico and USA will have you, we'll keep up with that one for you. We got a couple of scores, NBA scores. Lakers doing their business against Orlando. Dwight Howard returns to Orlando. And, you know, where he, you know, got through talking garbage about them, about how they, you know, didn't take care of him and they didn't respect him and all that nonsense. So now he's back down there. The Lakers are out 44-34 in the second period. Speaking of the Lakers, man, they, you know, they're in the eighth spot now. You know, we talked them up, you know, and basically everybody's going crazy because the Lakers are in well, they were in the eighth spot. You know what I mean? Well, they're tied for eighth spot right now with Utah. But I'm just saying, like, I don't really get what, you know, the big hubbub is about. You know, they're playing, you know, way under their potential. You know what I mean? And you're acknowledging them and you're wanting to crown them because they finally got in the eighth spot. They should be, like, in the third or fourth spot. You know what I mean? So everything that happens or doesn't happen with the Lakers is all on them. You know, and you know, they want to put the foot on the gas now, which is fine. They still have time to do it, and they're capable of doing it. You know what I mean? And Utah and Houston and Golden State are going to help them out. You know what I mean? But I just think that, you know, going crazy because the Lakers are in the eighth spot now is really kind of like a little bit going overboard because they really shouldn't be in that position in the first place. And another thing I wanted to speak on, and you call in and give your opinion about it, that dunk by DeAndre Jordan over Brandon Knight. Everybody's going berserk saying RIP to Brandon Knight and this and that. That dude dunked over a way smaller guy. So I don't understand what the big hubbub is about. DJ Scratch, you know, he hollered at me. He was like, well, he stepped up and he took that. Well, that's cool. He stepped up and took it. You know, what else is he supposed to do? Try to stop him? You know what I mean? You know, so I really didn't get why everybody was, you know, getting on Brandon Knight for getting dunked on. It happens every day. You know what I mean? I think it would have been a bigger thing if Brandon Knight would have dunked on him. You know what I mean? And it would have been a bigger deal. But yeah, so we here after further review, man. GQ Palace Sports, 646-200-3838 is the number to call to get in on the conversation. Yeah, back to the Knicks and the Lakers. Knicks doing their thing, man. They, you know, I Amari Stoudemire, I wanted to get on that too, man. He's going to be gone for 6 to 8 weeks. His knee is hurt. You know what I mean? It's the other one this time, so it's not going to be in the, you know, for the start of the playoffs again. So just like we say, the last two seasons, he hasn't been around for the start of the playoffs. It looks like he's not going to be around for the start of the playoffs this season either. You know, the Knicks are 38-23. You know, 6-4 in their last 10. I just feel like, you know, they got to, you know, get ready for the playoffs now. You know what I mean? There's still a lot of season left, but they still have to, you know, they still have to get what they have to get to position themselves. Because Indiana, they're tied with Indiana for second, actually. So, I didn't hear the bell, so I don't know who's on the line. But I'm assuming that my man Rock, this monster's in the building. It's late on the school bell. What's good, Rock, man? Welcome to the biggest show, my dude. Hello.
Thanks.
What's good?
And I'm sitting here watching, you know, a little bit of TV, listening to y'all talking about that.
Yeah, talk about that, man. So again, like I was waiting for you to get on the line so we could chop it up on this Knicks tape situation, man. Let me see, where were you at when it was 7-0 and everything was glory and they was throwing ticker tape on the Knicks? Where were you at with it?
When
the Knicks was 7-0 at the beginning of the season.
Oh, where was I? I mean, I was in New York.
Where were you as far as, like, you thinking that, you know, it's going to be the Knicks going to win the title, or, you know, did you buy into the concept that it was 7-0, that we're going to beat everybody? Because it was 7-0, we had beat Miami, you know what I mean? And we was giving it to everybody. So, where did you stand on it? Would you like in that frame of mind?
I was real excited about
it.
You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes, sir.
I'm not one of those type of dudes who just get geese off of nothing. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I didn't see too many highs and too many lows in too many areas of life. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, like, I'm like a fresh set of eyes on basketball. Like, 3-4 years ago, I didn't care about basketball
that much.
I liked it. You understand what I'm saying? If you would have asked me who my team was, I would have told you, of course, I'm repping New York, because who else was I going to rep? I'm from New York. You understand what I'm saying? But, like, you know, also, I'm partial to all teams with my name in them, like the Rockets.
Colorado Rockies.
Right. You understand what I'm saying? You see me with a lot of Rockies hats and a lot of Rockies gear on and whatnot. You know, but that's all because I'm a bit narcissistic.
I couldn't
have named you 5 players on the Rockets 3 years ago. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, I didn't have much to be proud of. I'm from New York, but they wasn't.
Hold on one second.
Much.
We got a call on the line. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. What's happening?
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. We go ahead. Go ahead, Rock.
Yeah. I was just like, I couldn't really talk. You ever go in the room of full of L.A. niggas and be a New York nigga during the Lake show? Like, never mind what the Lakers did this year. Just the normal Lakers that everybody, they will give you the business just for being from New York. And I'm like, yo, I don't even have a dog in the fight, but I'm going to take my lumps because I'm from New York, and that's what I'm repping.
Okay.
When I heard Carmelo Anthony was coming to the Knicks, I said to myself, son is one of them niggas. They talk about him when they talk about LeBron and them niggas and la, 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 la. So I was like, this could get interesting. So I started watching. And, you know, Carmelo came to the Knicks and he got off the plane and got on the court that day. You understand what I'm saying?
And I've been
watching ever since then. I watched the rise of Jeremy Lin and all of that. So, like, I was excited for them before the year came in. Like, when they was picking up Rasheed and Kirk Thomas and all that.
Jason Kidd
I was sitting there like, what the fuck is that doing?
Easy.
My bad. But I was upset. You understand what I'm saying? I was like, what do you look like? Like, I didn't get it at first, but when the game started and I watched what was going on, I was like, okay, all of this was starting to make sense to me.
Yes,
you understand what I'm saying? So I was watching and it was making sense, but I'm not foolish enough to not. Like, I can recognize weaknesses with
what
I'm saying? And taking, like, with Rasheed Wallace going down, that presented a weakness for us because Rasheed Wallace gave our team toughness. You understand what I'm saying? Like dudes ain't taking advantage of the paint with Rasheed Wallace in there because Rasheed Wallace don't mind getting kicked out of game.
Right.
And everybody knows that. You're not just going to come down there and violate shit.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And us picking up Kenyon Martin was a bit of a, you know, that kind of plugged that hole a little bit because Kenyon Martin is disposable fouls as well. He don't
right,
mind.
That's right, that's right. Disposable fouls is the word to use with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, I mean, whatever scoring you get from him is going to be gravy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because, like you said, he's going to provide that toughness in the paint area and not let really nothing go down. But Kia,
right.
Kia, you're a Laker fan, so you know, I know you're feeling better about yourself right now. Y'all holding that 8 spot down. So are you thinking like 40-50 games now for the Lakers?
I would like to see that when end of March get here.
Okay. All right. No doubt.
I think the Lakers is going to do good, actually. I think, like, they made it into the playoffs. Like, it took them a long time to get their machine oiled and running well.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it is,
right,
it's going to be trouble for all them dudes out there on the West Coast.
Well, I mean, I think that the Lakers, you know, I kind of agree with what you said, is that they woke up, you know what I mean? And it's better late than never, you know what I mean? And they have, like, you know, about 29, 30 games to get it together and vie for that spot. And it still could be done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The schedule's favorable for them, you know what I mean? And again, you know, I'm not doubting them. I never did doubt them, but it's just a situation where it's like, okay, they turned it on late instead of turning it on early like they usually do. That's all with the Lakers.
Right.
And with the Knicks, we just kind of like turned it on early, you know what I mean? 7-0, 18-5, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And now I think that, you know, with a couple of little injuries or whatever, and we got a little, we got some season under our belt, you know, and now we're fighting for position now.
Yeah, I mean, but like we tied us in Indiana next.
Yeah, we tied for second in the East. But look, we 9 games behind Miami. Miami's just beasting right now, yo.
Yeah, they beasting, no doubt. Ain't nobody catching them, and that's
right.
Cool. You
right.
You know what I'm saying? Which that don't really bother me, because that means we won't have to face them till somebody
right.
beats them up
that's
a little
right.
bit.
That's right.
You
that's right.
That's right. Like, we already beat up now. You understand what I'm saying? We got, you know, Sheed out. We got Stoudemire that just went down.
Again,
you know what I mean?
He won't, oh,
again,
man,
like, oh man, and you know, like that happened. But you know, we need to save some of the, you know, all of these games, right? Like, I don't think there's nobody on the East Coast that we can't beat. You understand what I'm saying? So I just feel like, you know, we need.
You don't
to
know what?
What'd you say?
He said he didn't think there was anybody in the East Conference that we couldn't contend with, couldn't beat.
Yeah, I'm a little. The Bulls make me a little nervous. You understand what I'm saying?
Without Rose, you scared of the Bulls without Derrick Rose?
They beat us 3 times this season.
That's right.
Without Rose,
yeah,
you understand
that's
what
right.
I'm saying? So imagine with Rose. So that worries me a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't think that we can't beat them. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know how a person take a jump shot, he missed the first one, you give the ball right back to him in the same spot, he'll hit the second one. You know, sometimes you got to get that rhythm going. You understand what I'm saying? I feel like that, all right, we missed a couple of jump shots in the form of games with the Bulls.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm
right,
like,
right.
We might be able to beat them. I ain't too worried. You understand what I'm saying? So, and we spanked Miami twice in the beginning of the season, but like you said, like I said about the Lakers, once they get the gelling, you know, certain teams, you know, they might not have all the elements to work in like a well-oiled machine at first, but once they get to clicking on all cylinders, they're going to be a problem.
And right now is the time for them to do that, and they're doing it, and, you know, we'll see what it is. They want, you know, the Lakers won 3 in a row, you know what I mean? They, you know, they tied with Utah for the 8th spot. And I was waiting, you know, Kia being that Laker fan, I wanted to see if she was going to thank us Knicks fans for spanking the Utah Jazz Saturday night,
you know what I mean?
And helping the Lakers out. You know, we do what we can, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we do what we can, you know.
But we got
rocked out, no pun intended, last night against Golden State. Goodness, man. Oh, man.
Well, you should have beat them last night for us. We don't need to think that.
We didn't even show up last night. We didn't show up.
I think Melo shouldn't have played.
Think he came back a little too early.
Yeah, he came back a little too early because it's
just
a general.
But he had 14 points last night?
He did something disgusting, something terrible. But I think when Melo is on the court or when Stoudemire is on the court, it's just the general mind frame of the Knicks to run the offense through those two guys or whichever one of them is on the court.
Right.
You know what I mean? And nobody else, it's hard for everybody else to get their rhythm.
To find what it's supposed to be.
It's like move the ball, get it to Melo.
But you, yeah, but Louis, yeah, like you said, move the ball, but it's going to end up, yeah, with, right. It's going to end up with Melo.
Mm-hmm. So they don't get their rhythm, but with both of our monsters out, Melo, Monster Melo, and Mari the Monster, with both of our monsters out, when they played the Jazz, everybody showed off. It was like everybody had time to get into their rhythm and do their numbers. Like Novak went bananas. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure did.
Like, it's hard because it's tough for Novak because he's running around spotting up for a shot, and they trying to run him off the line. Of course, he might miss one of those, but then they don't give him back the ball for another 20 minutes.
You gonna find your shot. Yeah, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying? So I think that
Novak had 20 off the bench.
Right. It would do us some good to play for a while without Melo and Amari. You understand what I'm saying? So everybody else could get used to stepping up.
Getting to a flow.
Doing what they do, getting to a flow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then when Melo come back, because he'll be back soon, it's no big deal, everybody will be more on they grind.
Let me kick it to you like this, though, Rock. It's like, we've been going through that the last, couple years. Like, I'll just keep it in the last couple of years specifically, man. You know, Melo would be out, my dude. Jeremy Lin, it would be doing his thing, whatever. Melo would come back, and then we got to find Melo in the offense, okay, because Jeremy Lin was running that pick and roll lovely. You know what I'm saying? But now we got to find him because Melo's back. Now we got to find Melo in the offense. Make sure that Melo gets the ball. Now everything's kind of discombobulated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
so now when the big guys are out, the flow kind of flows. But then it has to stop because now you got to find the big guy like we just was talking about. We got to, whatever we do in the offense, as long as we make sure we get the ball at number seven at the end of the set, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, anything, you know, and it's like, okay, you're stopping the thinking now. Okay, I'm in the offense flow, but I know Melo's out here and he's the man. But if they're not out there, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about playing D.
They're thinking, we got to win. It's on us. I got to do it. Every man is thinking, I have to do better.
That's right. And play their part and contribute. You know?
Like, who's hit? Like Melo's not here. We have to make up for that. Everybody's thinking that when he's not there.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
No doubt.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not sure. Like, you know, I believe in this team. You know what I mean? I believe that. I'm pretty sure we're going to make, I mean, like, we may fall a spot or two, but we're going to make it in the playoffs at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And it's like, I believe that we'll get in, and if we get in there and Rasheed Wallace and Amari Stoudemire come back to help us in these playoffs,
right?
Like if we fully loaded, we will be problematic for anybody.
Well, I mean, you know, Amari's going to be gone for 6 weeks. So he won't even start rehabbing to like almost to the end of the season. So are we gonna really be able to count on him, you know, as far as that first round? Because that, you know what I mean?
I mean, Amari, when he first came back this season, you know what I mean? Like, I was watching him very closely. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was able, if you know, like I'm very good at analyzing what it is I'm looking at. As long as I can understand it. You know what I'm saying? And I watched every game as Amari got a little better and a little better and a little better. And I was able to tell very quickly that when Amari gets the ball in a certain spot, they either foul him or he's scoring, period. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they can't really hold him. They're going to foul him or he's going to score on him. You know what I mean? Once he got his rhythm back, you know, because a couple of times he beat himself. But once he got his rhythm back, it's like as he started to get it back, every game it was like his numbers would go up and up and up. And I'm confident in that. If we get him back at any point in the playoffs, I believe he will be helpful. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean the beginning of the season and now it's kind of like night and day, you know what I mean? A lot of people were talking a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? And I wasn't, me being a Knicks fan, I wasn't saying like, oh, okay, I can't see the forest for the trees. I know what it is, you know what I mean? It's not, nobody ever won the NBA championship after 7 games. The Knicks were 7-0, you know what I mean? And we're going to win the title and da 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 da. Yeah, you know what I mean? Come on now. But it's like now is the time where you have to really kind of like show and prove, gear up for that playoff run. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and like you said, I'm confident that we can make something happen. If we can, I'll be disappointed, my dude. Keep it funky. I'll be disappointed if we don't finish with at least a home court in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That to me, you know what I mean? To me, that would be, you know, the season would be kind of like whack to me if you got to play
mm-hmm.
on the road in the first round. As good as you are, as good as you're supposed to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, regardless of the Indianas and the Brooklyns and the Chicagos, you know what I'm saying? So those are really the teams that you got to contest with because, like, Boston's kind of falling off or whatever. You know what I mean? And so those are the teams. As long as you can compete with some teams, you're not worried about the top spot. The top spot is dead. You don't worry about that. You know what I mean?
You're dead on the top spot.
Yes, sir. You're dead on the top spot. But if you can position yourself to get a home court in the first round, then we might be able to work something out. But if we got to go on the road in the first round, I consider the season kind of like, what happened?
Y'all have the first home court.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. We tied with Indiana for second in the East, but we're only 2.5 games in front of Brooklyn. And they got the fourth spot. So, I mean, it's looking shaky right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, Gia, so I know you're feeling in a better state of mind. Your Lakers are back in the building. We, you know, we could talk about them again.
Mm-hmm.
They're over 500. So, I mean, are they playing?
Again.
Go ahead.
We could talk about them again.
Yeah, we could talk about them again. I said I wasn't going to talk about them until they got over 500.
No, and that's exactly why we're not, so you made that comment, so we're not going to talk.
Well, they're over 500 now, so, you know.
Them. So we can talk about them now. What kind of thing do you think you can make that kind of statement? We can talk about them now.
Because I can. That's why.
Well, whatever. We can talk about them now.
I know it's whatever. 500. Yep.
I don't sound saying that.
It's the truth.
We can discuss them now because they're over 500. So
yep.
We can discuss them.
That's right. They're relevant
yeah, okay.
now.
Okay. All right.
They're relevant now. Hey, Rock, what you think about that dunk, man? DeAndre Jordan over your man Brandon Knight.
Honestly, I really don't give no, I don't really care about Brandon Knight and them. Like, you know, he was just somebody. I do like the Clippers, show.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I saw the dunk, and, you know, it is what it is. I do agree
that. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I was like, why are people, like, flipping, like, you know?
I mean, Brandon, the guy did smack at the earth kind of hard or whatever, you understand what I'm saying? But, I mean, a dunk is a dunk. He got caught out there. It's better that he actually tried to play defense,
yeah.
I heard, what's dude named the Manimu from Denver? He was like, he said, I'm going to be on a lot of posters because I'm going to try to block those dunks. Like, I would rather be on a poster, you know what I'm saying, for playing defense than to just run, you know, just get out the way.
And just get
buffed
on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
he was Brandon Knight's a smaller dude, and he, you know, what else could he do? And I think it would have been a bigger thing if Brandon Knight would have buffed it on him.
Right.
Because it would have been a little dude going up on a bigger dude. But, you can't take nothing away from him. He rocked that.
Still fun to watch.
No pun intended.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. He rocked that.
Still fun to watch.
a Clippers-Lakers first-round playoff series. What you think?
Who am I rooting for?
Who you think going to win?
Clippers and Lakers first round? I think the Lakers might beat the Clippers. But I don't know. Just because the Lakers are such perfect, like, they got Kobe. You understand what I'm saying? And as much as people hate on Kobe, like, he know how to win. You understand what I'm saying? He's the type of person that knows how, like, you know, who doesn't study for the test and just studies the night before because he knows the test is tomorrow. And he passed and he gets a 99 on the test.
Right,
you understand what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Perfectly put. Exactly.
Like, he's that type
put.
Of dude. You know what I'm saying?
And, yeah, I guess you want to applaud that. Applaud that, please.
You understand what
that
I'm saying?
Was
like,
that,
I know that
was
about
so
Kobe.
Sound, that was so perfectly put. And you're right, because they hate on him. But, you know, Kobe's like,
yeah.
Hey, we could care less.
Right. I know that. Like, you know, I keep it 100 all the time.
Yeah,
like, you
I could care less who hates on Kobe.
Like, I'm not, you know, like I said, like, it's, I kind of, like, it's funny, like, I don't hate the Lakers, I just used to hate L.A. fans,
right.
You understand what I'm saying, because they would be so belligerent when you go
yeah.
in the room, because, you know, I go to L.A. a lot, you know what I'm saying, so I would be out there, and I told, like I said earlier, being that somebody from New York, they would give me the business, and all of that. So I would hate on the Lakers just to out of self-defense. You understand what I'm saying? But I can't hate on Kobe. Like, that man is a beast. You understand what I'm saying? And although the Clippers are extremely talented, and you know what I'm saying? Like I love the team they got over there. You know what I'm saying? I love what they do. I think in a seven-game series, the Lakers might get them.
It's not like we playing away from home.
That's
world,
true.
Right? Nobody
and,
ever
and again,
away
and
it's not like we playing away from home. It's our building. It's just that they're the home team.
Right.
It's not like
we
playing away from
home,
but I'm different.
And again, I think the most important fact is the Lakers will be playing. I think they'll be playing where they need to be at the right time. That's all. You know what I mean? I just think that again, everybody goes through their process. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the focus wasn't where it was supposed to be. They went through the little thing with Mike Brown or whatever. They got rid of him. Mike D'Antoni. They went through their little growing process with him. And maybe the right time is for them to kind of get it together now and see what it is. And
then another thing, man, D'Antoni ain't no good, B. Like, D'Antoni is a disease. I call it D'Antonitis. You understand what I'm saying? Like, son. I'm glad
we
don't
got happy, but we doing what we got right now. Believe me, I'm not happy. I'm just doing what I got right now.
Yeah, you got Laker fan extraordinaire in the building, man. So,
I feel what I got to do right now.
I can keep it tall, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going to lie, like, I'm not going to keep it fake. Like, I'm not going to sit out here and act like the Knicks is going to get that number one spot.
That's what I was talking about, Kia. It's the difference between being a fan and saying, oh, got pie-in-the-sky dreams, like, we're going to win the title, da-da-da-da-da, and being a realist.
Let me tell you something. I'm a different fan. Every year, they come in here, any fan, any players, every year they come in here, they thinking they're going to get, there's nothing wrong with you thinking you're going to get that O'Brien. Everybody, that's their dream, the O'Brien. Kobe's dream is to get that number six. And he's not wrong for trying to get the six. I'm not wrong for trying to get the six. Don't tell me that I can't have when we're going to try to get the six. If I'm trying to be getting six. But I don't care. But see, me as a fan, I don't care what other people say. Just like y'all can care less what I say. But I can care less what anybody say when it comes to me saying we can get the challenge shot or we can get the number six. That's just me.
Let me tell you something. I believe the Lakers could get the championship. It's possible. You understand what I'm saying? And the thing with me is like when the Lakers grabbed that when they tried to cheat in the offseason, when they got Dwight, because I feel like that's cheating when you get all them superstars together, right? They got Dwight.
But they did let the Lakers get Chris Paul. David Stern said no to that one.
All right, but look, right? When they put that team together, they was expected to do big things.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And now that they finally got them, them playing like a team, I feel like they can do big things. Like, didn't nobody think that the Lakers wasn't going to do big things when we heard they got
Dwight
and Nash? You understand what I'm saying? Everybody's a little bit nervous. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the Knicks can win a championship. I feel like they can. You understand what I'm saying? Like, because we have beat Miami twice this year. We have beat the Lakers once this year. We didn't beat OKC, but we lost by one point.
It should have
beat
OKC
without Melo.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? That was one point without Son. He just went down. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like Brooklyn beat OKC this year.
Right.
You understand
right.
what I'm saying? And we can beat them. Now, I mean, we beat the Spurs this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't feel like it ain't nobody we can't beat. You understand what I'm saying? So I figure like if we clicking on all cylinders, which is a lot easier said than done, then we can beat anybody. And that's not wrong. I just can acknowledge when they playing like crap too. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. And I think that's the thing. When you acknowledge that your team is not doing it so good or whatever, and your expectations for them are not as high, and then but again, once the playoffs start, all bets are off. It's a brand new season once again. You know.
My expectations will still be the same. My expectations, regardless of my Lakers not doing well, my expectations for them is still get to that championship, and that doesn't change. It's just that we're not having, we didn't have a grand season coming out. We didn't have a grand preseason. We were only 8 in the preseason. So, but my expectations still stay the same. So we're getting that 6. It don't change because we had a bad season. We're having a bad season. Mm-mm. I'm a different breed of a Laker fan. Different breed.
Let me tell you,
O'Brien,
my man.
I see the O'Brien quickly.
Let me tell you, right? My man Doc Holliday, that's my only big homie in the world, right?
Hmm.
Other than that, I'm the big homie, right? Doc Holliday, last season, Doc was like, when the Lakers wasn't doing so hot, right? Doc was like, you listen. He's like, you listen here, youngster. You better believe, you rest assured that the Lakers is going to find a way to get in them playoffs. And he was right. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it don't, like that's what I'm saying. It's like Kobe is, if Kobe was a rapper, he would be the type of dude who could hang out at the club, get drunk all night, knowing he's supposed to be writing for the song, get to the studio and write a song right there, and it'd be a hit. Like, that's that's Kobe. Like, that's him. That's him. Tell me. If I played ball as good as I rap, we'd be having this conversation on a whole nother level right now.
You were talking about a whole bunch of other stuff too. That's right, no doubt. TQ Powers, after further review, man, 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. So yeah, man. So again, so who do you see, you know, shaking out of the East and West, man, at the end of the day?
Well, you know Miami is going to be there.
Okay.
Unless we beat them.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
I do not think that's impossible. We done it twice. On this season, we 2-1 against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not scared of no in Miami. Real talk.
I hear you. I hear you.
I don't care what kind of winning streak they on. I'm not afraid.
I don't either. I think they will be beat in the playoffs.
You say?
So you don't think Miami's going to the finals, Kia?
I think they're going to the finals. I mean, I think they can get beat in the finals before they even get to the finals. I don't think they're going to the finals. No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I ain't scared of no Miami.
So who's coming out of the East besides Miami?
Me. Us. Boo. Us.
The Knicks. I hear you.
So we have to look. All we gotta look. It ain't like we gotta get to number 2. We just gotta hold number 2.
And that's my point. And you make my point for me. It's like I just feel like if we can make other cats like scared of us. Nobody's scared of the Knicks, man. Let's keep it all the way 100. Nobody's scared of the Knicks. If we can just run off a streak where we can just hold down a spot, is all I'm saying. So they gotta come to us. So we ain't got to go to them. Because when we go on the road, all bets are off, G.
You
know what I mean? At least we know we're going to have that, you know, if it goes down to a 7th game or whatever, we know we got that game at the Garden. You know what I mean? So position ourselves, because when the playoffs come, like we said, it's a whole new season, but you want to have that spot. Because like I said, I would be highly disappointed if we don't finish with a home court advantage.
But I'm going to tell you this, though, son. Fear is a hell of a motivator, son. You don't look, man. Fear, just because somebody's afraid of you, that's not always the best thing you want. You want sometimes your opponent being overconfident works even better.
Man, listen, I would love to see a game 1 Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks and Heat. What? I'll be all over it. Let's get there. That's all. That's all I'm saying. That's it. I got no problem with it. I got no problem with it at all. Let's get there. We got 38-23. We got 21 games left. You know what I mean? And we like you said, we tied with Indiana for their second spot. We could hold that spot down.
I don't think y'all tied. I think y'all are the number 2 spot. Indiana is number 3. If I look at the paper right, it's Knicks number
2. Well, you
didn't
look at the paper right because the Knicks and Indiana are tied for the second spot. 9 games behind Miami. Both of them are 9 games behind Miami. Both of them 9 games behind Miami, and Brooklyn is 4th, and they're 11.5 games back. So Brooklyn is right there, too. And those for the top 4 teams, that's home court advantage right there in the first round. That's all I'm saying. We hold that spot down, we'd be all right.
But I'm just saying, with, you know, the injuries and, you know, the little nagging injuries and you know, things of that nature, I don't want that to catch up to us. We end up, like, being fifth or sixth. Then we got to go on the road and, you know.
I think that's going to happen, my brother. I think we're going to maintain good position because.
Okay.
Because we're going to sit Carmelo down.
Hold on one second, Rock. We got Mike on the line. Mike, welcome to the bigger show, my dude. What's good?
What's going on, man?
We talking Knicks tape with Rock This Monster from Helter Skelter Boot Camp and all that. I got Key on the line too, my dude.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
so what you got? Go ahead, Rock.
You see my Knicks?
Yeah, we talking about the Knicks. Yeah, putting up that NCAA score last night against Golden State. So go ahead, Rock. Continue your thought, my dude.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
I just looked at it. Knicks got 23 losses and the Pacers got 24 losses. I thought my eyes were deceiving me.
Yeah, but the Indiana has 39 wins and the Knicks got 38. So
they're
even.
I'm just going by what they're
saying. Yeah, I hear you. The Knicks, I hear you. I understand. I got you.
The Knicks will have the number two seed.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I remember what I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
That injury to Carmelo's knee is not over. It's not over with. Whatever that is, like he was talking about his fluid on the back of his knee and all of that, they're going to sit him down. You understand what I'm saying?
Carmelo or Amari Stoudemire?
No, Carmelo.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to get some more time on the pond.
Right.
And the rest of the Knicks, the without a star,
They're gonna hold it down.
They play tomorrow night, man. They play in Denver, man. I don't know if Carmelo's played in Denver since he's been on the Knicks.
He will play tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to see that, man. I've been wanting to see that for a couple of years now.
They didn't
play
Denver already this year.
Yeah, but I think we was at the go at home. I don't think Carmelo's ever played the Nuggets in Denver.
No, because of that strike. They didn't
yeah,
play.
And,
they
and he was hurt. There was the lockout, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, like so about the knee situation. I mean, if he's gonna get out there, man, get out there at full strength, man. Get out. You know what I mean? Because something else could happen. We could lose you for a longer stretch. So, like you said earlier, man, you know, maybe he should have sat out last night.
They need to sit him down. They need to sit him down now. It's all good. Make the rest of the boys perform. You understand? We got a lot of talent on our squad. You know what I'm saying? Like Raymond Felton be having all kind of 26-point games.
Mm-hmm.
We already know J.R. Smith is do what he do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Chandler can get real aggressive and do what he do. Like, I mean, like,
too much.
But make it happen is the point. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, anybody is beatable on any night. You understand what I'm saying? Make it happen.
All right, right, right. I mean, you know, right now they're on a West Coast swing, so you know, whatever, and, you know, anything we can get out of that would be gravy right now. You know what I mean? And if you know Copeland can contribute. You know what I mean? And give us a little something. He gave us 15 last night. You know what I mean?
I'd be kind of mad at Woodson for not putting Copeland in. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he ain't, because he's going score. Like, he has real good ball control. Like, when he in the air, he's solid. You know what I'm saying? You can't just bump him off his shot all easy. He scores.
Right.
And I think Woodson needs more of that. But Woodson is mad hard-headed.
So you think it's a thing where he's just like basically because he's, you know, a younger guy and he just doesn't trust him? Because, I mean, again, when he's in the game, he does his numbers.
Because Woodson is defensive-minded and Copeland's defense is
kind
of
shaped suspect. Right.
And I saw one game Woodson said he didn't let him play because he was shucking and jiving in practice. And last night when I watched Copeland, when he got in there, a pass of his got stolen, right? And it wasn't so much that the pass got stolen. The pass was mad shucking and jivish. Like, it was a lazy pass. And
right.
I seen
I seen Woodson getting on Copeland in practice about stuff like that. Like, take a game shot. You're not going to shoot the ball like that if it was the game.
Game
you know
situation, right.
Right.
Wow. Again, you got to have the whole body of the situation comes into it. Again, this is your attitude. It's your basketball IQ, what you're going to do with the balls in your hand. You know what I mean? And again, if we can do what we're supposed to do for this last, you know, quarter of the season, man, you know, we'll be all right. And you know, as far as with, you know, Carmelo and Amari Stoudemire, it's kind of a mismatch, man, because they really haven't put together a solid string since both of them been on the team of games together. Either one of them is hurt, one of them is out, one of them suspended, one of them is gone. You know what I mean? It's crazy. So, you know, really have it, like you said, at the beginning of the show, we was talking about cohesiveness and gelling. At the first thing came, he was like, yo, they need to gel. Get it together.
I see them, when they on the court together, I see them gelling. You understand what I'm saying? Like, every game they win together, they won some games on the floor together.
Yeah, like, they have. They have.
I see Carmelo hooking that up with dunks and all of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they gelling. People just ignore that part and focus more on when they not.
Right. So I mean, what do you think as being as far as with the Nets being at the Barclays Center, as far as Brooklyn and things of that nature, as far as, you know, dividing the city up? Is it still any kind of like Brooklyn Nets fans coming out the woodworks that used to be Knicks fans, or vice versa? You notice any difference?
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of Nets fans. It wasn't too many Nets fans around my way before. It's a bunch of them now. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, to me,
no,
like, what'd you say?
I said, there ain't no fans. Please.
Right. To me, it's like, I'm like this. Like, you know, what it is all of the Brooklyn people are proud that they just happy to be able to scream.
To have a team.
You know what I'm saying? To be able to scream Brooklyn. Brooklyn wins. Brooklyn wins. They want to be able to hear that. They heard that since they was feeling it.
Right. That's right.
So they just happy about that. Me, it's more like they on a probationary status, right? You know, I'm from Brooklyn and all of that. But, I mean, I'm from New York. And it's like a new family come on the block or move in the building. And they move on my floor. I've been rocking with the whole building my whole life. They just moved on the floor. You understand what I'm saying? I don't just disown my floor to run with these dudes. They could be snitches. They could be selling bad weed. They could be all kind of whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Like, real killers.
Right. You know, I got to watch these dudes first. Uh-huh. They got to prove themselves first before I just get the
so what do you think about the Barclays Center, man?
I don't like that rusty look on it.
Yeah, what is that?
What is that right there?
We got to do an investigation or something.
I went down to the DMV one day. You can see it from clear as day from the DMV. I'm down in the DMV, but it's a little distance. I see the brown. I'm thinking, hold on, let me find out we got wood grain. Hold on a second. I had to leave the DMV and get a closer look at that. I said, let me walk up. And I walked down the block and saw that and was like, what is this? Velvet? What is this? What is this? I'm like, hold on. They must be going to wait because they were still doing it. I'm like, they must be going to wait till everything is done, and then they're going to crack that off, and it's going to be all
gone. It's going to be the official under that, right? They got the wood paneling up.
I thought, yo, the wood grain would have been real snazzy. You understand what I'm saying? I thought wood grain, I thought those were just temporary covers. It would pull off and it was going to be glass. I thought everything that was going to be the finished product. What is that? Come on.
Wowee.
Come on. Like, I'm like, is that supposed to, all right, Brooklyn, we supposed to be tough, so we supposed to look for me? What is that? Like, that's why me and Sean Price be ranking on dudes for having toe-up sneakers at our shows. Because boot camp was so synonymous with hardcore army fatigue. Like, people would dress down to come to our shows, and we would be like, "What is that? We're not feeling that. No, that's not what you do. You wouldn't wear that to a 50 Cent concert."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't do that. Don't do that. So yeah, like, I mean, Brooklyn dudes, we might be hardcore, but the lowlifes are from Brooklyn. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, shout out to them. Like, these is a band of dudes who their main objective in life was to be fly.
Right. Say that one more time, my dude.
Their main objective in life was to be fly. It was the flyest dudes in Brooklyn. You understand? Till this day they is. You understand what I'm saying? Shout out
first to Howell the Third.
That's my boy right there.
Yeah,
you know what
shout
I'm
out. Yes, sir. No life. Shout out. All that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But yeah, so why we got to get the dusty, rusty panels on the building and all that? I'm feeling that.
Yeah, I wanted to get some opinion on that because it looks it throws it off. It throws the whole, you know, man, the flatness, going that flatness off. Like, what is that?
That's what y'all come move on my floor with. y'all clear rusty?
You got the plastic on the furniture? Come on. You got that liquid gold and that pledge popping off in there.
Come on, B.
The wood grain.
Yo, I wish it would have been wood grain, I tell you, boy. If it would have been wood grain, boy, we'd have been styling.
That's what it is.
We got rust grain.
They got the rust grain and they got the big screens on the outside and all that. You know what I mean? It's what it is. It's different. That's all I can say. It's really, really different. I didn't see that one.
I like everything but the rust grain.
So you know how big you are in hockey or whatever, but the Islanders get ready to come there too. So they're gonna have the building filled up every night.
Oh, what?
Yeah, the Islanders will be. They're leaving from Long Island or whatever. You follow college basketball?
Nope.
Nah. Damn. Want to get into this NCAA tournament conversation? But yeah, man. So what else is going on as far as?
I don't got the attention span for too much sports. Like, you know, whatever I do real hard. So it's like, you know, I'll be in this crib, like, heartbreaking over a Knicks loss and all that. I can't do that in football and in college ball and all that too. I'll be depressed.
You said you'd be depressed. I don't see that, man. So yeah, man. So right now Lakers 73, Orlando Magic. Well, the score is switching up on me. 65-59. Is that the updated score, Kia? I got 73-61 now.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we up here chopping it up with my man Rock this month, the Helter Skelter and all that. You got anything new coming up, any project? I saw you at the Mike Handler release party, my dude. That's where I locked you down at. Like, yo, you got to come on the show, man. He was like, bet that. In between the indulging and all that, you know what I mean? So I'm glad that I appreciate you, man, for coming on, man. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, let everybody know what's going on with you, man.
Well, I'm working on my solo album. It's called The Man, The Myth, The Monster. And I'm halfway done with that. I've been kind of keeping the title under wraps up until yesterday.
Yes,
just because I wanted to get at least half done, you know, so I could start getting a project, you know, like projecting a date or whatever. But it should be done in a couple of months. And that's my main focus. I'm doing all kind of other things too. You know what I mean? But I got an acting gig going on. I got a role in this TV series. It's something kind of like I don't know, like The Wire, like Boardwalk Empire, something, one of those type of shows.
Okay.
You know, it's called the AC Chronicles. I'll be out in Atlantic City every weekend shooting.
Okay.
And all that. You know what I mean?
What
it is. You know, I know a lot of other things going on. A monster gang project, you know, me and my animals and all of that. I'm putting together an album with you know, with my squad, you know, aside from boot camp. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, 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 right.
But be on the lookout for that. You know, the album is the main focus, you know what
That's
I mean?
That's what it is. That's what it
it's
is.
The man, the myth, the monster.
That's what it is, man.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm on what is it? _ Rockness _ on Twitter. You know, you can look for updates. You can look for the Rock Rules. You can look for my website, rockness.net. All of that. You know, I'm active. You know what I mean?
That's what it is, man. So yeah, man. So yeah, so we chopping it up, man. Just talking next tape. We got to get into some other stuff, man. You know what I mean? But you can hang out if you want, man. You know what I mean? But we definitely appreciate you, man, being on and chopping up with us next tape style. So again, so we are locked down. You said the Knicks gonna be in the finals. That's the Rockness rule right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Like real talk, like.
So we're gonna get the Rockness rule. So who they gonna play in the finals? We didn't get that out of you.
Who we gonna play in the finals? That's kind of hard. That's kind of difficult because I don't care as much about what's going on in the West Coast as I do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so it really don't matter who comes out the West.
Yeah, it really don't matter who come out. Like, I don't think there's nobody out there we can't beat. We have beat the number. I do know that the Spurs are still number one out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We done beat them already this year, so it's doable. It's nothing.
All right. That's what it is, my dude. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kia. What you say?
Yeah, that was the best response answer. You shouldn't care who's coming out the West, because out the West, we wouldn't care who's coming out the East. I agree with you. My contract is coming out the East. My contract is the Lakers getting to the playoffs and getting the finals. I don't care who's coming out the East. I agree with you.
Right. It don't matter.
It doesn't matter. I'm all about what the Lakers business. I'm all about Lakers business. They ain't worried about who's coming out where no else.
She real deal with her. She real deal with her.
Yeah, she's straight. Yeah, she's straight with that. Yeah. Well, I gotta. You can't front on that. You cannot front on that. But so Kia, so
I respect it because I'm all the way live with mine. Like I'm so real with mine. I can let you know in plain English what teams make me nervous and all that. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's not just blind faith with me and all of that. But like I said, I'm going to always root for who I'm rooting for. And whoever we playing against, I'm rooting against. I might like you today, but if you're playing the Knicks, I don't like you that day.
I don't like you then. Okay. That's fair.
I don't like nobody. So.
That's fair.
Who you are, it's always the Lakers. The vision is always the Lakers.
Yeah, so, Kid, did you see any I know you're a little bit light on your roster. Talking about the NFL free agency. Oh, but hold on, before we get in that, can we get the bell before? Thank you, Angie. What's good? Welcome to the bigger show. Hello, Angie. What's good? Welcome to the bigger show.
That's how y'all doing?
That's your cue. You're supposed to say, how you doing? All right, what's going on?
I did. You didn't hear me. I'm kind of delay or something somewhere.
Yeah, it must be some kind of digital delay. But what, what's happening, ladies?
I was just listening in. You know, I like sports and everything. I don't get into depth like as a female like Kia do. Kia be having her facts together.
That's right. That's what it is. That's what makes the conversation on point. So yeah. So what's happening?
Nothing. I was like, what's going on with the Knicks? You know what I'm saying? I'll rep them because I'm from New York, but I'm a Boston fan.
I'm gonna let Rockness. You still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm going to let you tell Angie what's going on with the Knicks. We got Rock This Monster, Health and Skelter in the building.
Okay.
Well, the Knicks, right now, you know, they're struggling. I mean, like, all of the best teams go through it, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't lose faith on them. We had certain holes. You know what I mean? We plugging them up. You know what I mean? Like, Kenyon Martin is going to be a big – he's going to be a big help.
He's going to have to be.
Yeah.
And you know what? My thing is on that, though, he just has this consistent thing where he can't show up for the playoffs, which
yeah,
is really, really
yeah,
need
see?
Him.
Yep.
You understand
I was going to say that.
He's spending all this money.
This is going to be the third year, yo, that he won't be – he won't make
on.
The start of the playoffs. The third year.
The start of playoffs, and this is when they really need him. You know what I'm saying? Even though he's been inconsistent all season, listen, I'd bench him, save him for a little while. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And let's work with the other people. You know, let JR and them step up and do the thing. So
I mean, that's exactly what I said. Like, whenever we don't got a star on the floor, because the rest of our talent, which we have a lot of, they step up. You understand what I'm saying? But whenever we got
Carmelo or Amari on the floor, it's like
they
the options go through them. It's like,
yeah,
you know, you gonna move the ball, move the ball, move the ball, move the ball, get it to Melo.
Well, see, my take on that is them as the superstars should be setting them up. Like, listen, we gonna fall. I'm gonna fall back. I'm gonna feed y'all though. You know what I'm saying?
But like being a decoy or something.
Put everybody else on. Because like you said, they have the talent. The talent is there.
Yeah.
The talent
is
there. They just gotta know how to use it.
This is true.
I don't know if that's a coaching move or what. You know what I'm saying?
But technically, like, it's the job of it's really supposed to be the point guard to set everybody up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, he gets the, like, you know, he finds the open man. You move the ball, you move the ball. And, you know, Melo is just one of the, he's just a player who can create off the dribble. Like, if it ain't no open shot, you know what I mean, then he's the one they go to try to create a shot. You know what I mean? But really, JR can do that as well. You know what I'm saying? Stoudemire can create off. He can create too as well from a certain distance. You know what I mean? But they got Melo and Stoudemire for that ability. You know, dudes who require a double team because they could create off the dribble. You know what I mean? So that's what they do. Like, they got them there. They're paying them all that money. So their tendency and their mind frame is to give the ball to them.
They gotta fill up them stat sheets.
That can go stale though. Like that becomes your pattern and it goes stale. Just like even like with Boston, with Rondo going down, like the Celtics was doing bad when Rondo went down, and I love Rondo as a player, I respect completely. But when he went down, they had to switch things up and then they started winning. You understand what I'm saying?
Like, made it work.
Like, it, you can't keep doing the same thing. You gotta switch it up sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? And I feel like
Coach Woodson, and the Knicks got a little more talent.
Like,
listen, we got gunners on the team. We got people that can shoot from the three. We got people that's driving. We have that. You know what I'm saying? Use that. Exercise that. You know
Woodson
what I'm saying?
Stubborn.
So
Woodson is kind of stubborn.
Turn it down,
You know, and Woodson's main thing is defense. He's real defensive minded. So him knowing that he got players that are good at defense, he want to make them do what they supposed to do before he start playing around with the lineup.
So I don't think it was a better going when before Stoudemire came. I think when Stoudemire came back, that's when it started really falling.
Well, I think the main issue is that, you know, again, when the quote unquote superstars aren't in the game, everybody relaxes and plays their game.
Right.
When the quote unquote superstars are back in the game, the emphasis is on getting them the ball and making sure the superstars play like superstars or play get the ball.
Earn their money.
You know what I'm saying? So that the cohesiveness, the balance, it looks kind of like out of sync and it's out of whack.
Yep. The chemistry is all off.
And you got Carmelo Anthony. He's supposed to have the ball in his hands. He's supposed to score the ball. Amari Stoudemire, he's supposed to have the ball in his hands. He's supposed to score the ball. So it's only one basketball.
Exactly.
So what are you gonna, you know? And it's discombobulated. So that's why I was saying, Rob.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Like, get into a flow as far as, you know, knowing where each other's gonna be on the court for one game. That's cool. For a quarter, that's fine, well and good. But you know, when it's time to do that throughout a number of games, 8, 9, 10 games in a row, let's make it happen and get some kind of, you know, system going with teams and knowing, you know, we're gonna come in there, and we're gonna handle our business. That's all.
Right.
You know, right now it's like, okay, you know, Amari's out, Carmelo's just coming back. It's always that, man. That's the thing that bugs me out.
That's what it is, because nobody's intimidated by them. There's no intimidation on the Knicks with all the talent that they have.
Right.
Nobody's intimidated by them. You know what I'm saying? Even though they was beating the power team, which is Miami, but nobody's still intimidated by it. Oh, we playing Knicks, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We got experience up the yin yang, but we don't got nobody taking charge.
Like, listen, we need one person that's going to control this right now.
I'm going to tell you this. When Sheed is on the floor, dudes are intimidated.
Yeah.
You got to keep him on the floor, though, cousin.
Right. I'm saying, and that's why we got Kenyon Martin, because, like,
yeah.
We be getting hurt in the paint. You understand what I'm saying? Dudes be just running through the middle. And
right.
They didn't do that when she was there. You understand? She don't mind getting kicked out of the game.
You got six of them to work with.
That's just like Kevin Garnett. Listen, who fucking with Kevin Garnett?
Hold up.
Don't mess with him.
You know what I'm saying? It's like we got Kenya Martin. Kenya Martin know he going he know he know he's in there to glue things together.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He don't mind pushing somebody. He don't mind pushing and shoving. Let's just
right.
say that. To be mild about it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? You ain't going to bully no Kenya Martin. You
That's
just
right.
not. You understand what I'm saying? You just not. He going to foul you, and it's going to hurt. You understand?
You got to earn him from the charity stripe.
And
right.
And he is not going to care about it either. You understand what I'm saying? Him and Sheed alike. I remember a referee gave Sheed a tech just for looking at him too hard.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like,
they already
anticipated
what he was going to
mm-hmm.
do.
They already got him marked down for a tech, yep, before they even
they
gave
him a
start.
Cannon. They know
he'll
lose cannon.
You know what, though, Rock? I think that something that hasn't been, you know, talked about, I discussed it, you know, off the air or whatever with a couple of people. It's like, again, they, you know, kind of schooled me to the fact that, you know, in the playoffs, the game slows down. So it might be right up the Knicks' alley, you know what I mean? It's not like it's not going to be an up and down type thing when the playoffs start, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the way the game is played kind of changes. So it might be a little bit to our advantage. But, again, all I'm asking for out the whole deal is home court in the first round. That's all I'm asking for.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, and we can go and we can rock out from there because then everybody starts off with an even kill. It's only 8 teams you got to worry about then, you know what I mean? So come out the East. You know, and it might be to your advantage that Rasheed Wallace and Kenyon Martin and that intensity and that toughness. Ain't nobody gonna want to come in the paint with them cats. Not
they're
Garnett.
That's exactly why Miami got Birdman. That's exactly why Miami got Birdman. Same way he played. Kenyon Martin will go control that. That's the reason why Nick Toppin will beat Miami
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If Rasheed is on the floor. If Rasheed and King on the floor, they don't mind giving you that hard foul.
Right.
They don't mind giving me.
So it's just basically going to be like, who's less?
Yep.
I got a homeboy that wholeheartedly believes, right? It's my little homie. He like, son, Blake Griffin is not dunking on Rasheed like that. I'm like, son, if you catch him slipping, I'm like, anything could happen. My homeboy is like, I'll bet you money, Rock. He not doing that. He been watching ball longer than me. But
right.
He wholeheartedly believes that. I'm like, I hope you're right. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I hope you're right. But what he said is like, Rasheed ain't having that. You're not just coming down in the middle doing what you want to do. Like
nah.
Nah,
he ain't giving up no punk fouls.
Like, nah, you're not just doing what you want down here.
We got another call on the line. T, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. What's happening?
Hello. Calling in to show some love, as always.
All right, no doubt. We're talking Knicks tape right now. We're talking, you know, basketball. We're in the situation right now. So we got a bunch of people on the line. We got Kia on the line. We got Rock from Health to Skelter on the line. We got Angie on the line. Mike is in the building as usual. So, Let's get it popping. Yeah, the Knicks, man, once the playoffs start, I just think that, you know, the game will slow down and maybe that, you know, we might could sneak a first-round win out if we got home court. That's my whole thing. That's my whole issue
they
right
they
here.
They would have to sneak it in there, too.
Yes, you see? and my thing was, in the beginning, you know, it was 7-0, and everybody had the pom-poms out, and they was getting ready to have the parade Broadway and all that, and I'm like, nah. Not yet. Hold up. Wait a minute.
Don't start cheering
yet. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Huh?
You know? And you know, now it's like the Knicks stink and the Knicks is this and the Knicks is that. You knew what you was going to get in the beginning. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking that, okay, we're finally here now. We're going to get some respect. We're going to be one of them teams in the East that's going to challenge Miami. It's nothing wrong with that. But be in that position at the end of the
game. I was so excited in the beginning because I know what we usually be getting out of it.
Yeah, man.
I was celebrating that right there.
Celebrating?
Listen, you had a right to. When was the last time the Knicks
It was shocking. Like, okay. You know, just keep it going, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So let's keep it going. Let's pull
let's
it back.
Let's keep it
together.
Going. That's it right there.
Yeah, we would rather say let's pull it back together because did not keep it going. You understand what I'm saying? We need to pull it back together, and you know.
I think the only thing is, you know, outside of the home court advantage thing, is that if we could get everybody on the court at 100% at the same time, it'd be a whole different situation.
Well, you never have it.
It'd be a whole different scenario.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Everybody playing their position at 100%.
Everybody playing at 100%. Felton's good to go. Amari's straight. Melo's straight. We moving the ball movement. JR's rocking. He's doing his numbers. Even Copeland is contributing. Everybody could do what they're supposed to do. Then it'd be like, okay, we're here. But it's always something.
That's wishful thinking, though. That's wishful thinking.
Yeah,
especially on
definitely.
Amari's part.
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan. Hard body karate. I'm with the Knicks. I'm with the Knicks all day. You know, but I just want them to be with it, you know, want them to be at full capacity, full strength.
If you're a fan, you're a fan. That's like a lot of people on this Brooklyn Nets bandwagon. People cheering for them because they're from Brooklyn. I think that they was trash in the beginning. Don't cheer for them because they're from Brooklyn. If you're going to cheer for them because they're a good team or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Not because of where they at.
Yeah, I asked Rock earlier. It's like, you know, you notice there's a lot of, you know, I guess, you know, Brooklyn Nets fans coming out the woodworks or whatever, and it's being, you know, Brooklyn. It's like, I'm still a Knicks fan. I'm not, because the Brooklyn Nets are coming to Brooklyn. I'm
Knicks,
a Brooklyn
Nets Brooklyn
fan.
Brooklyn Nets is there. Where y'all was at when they was in Jersey?
Nah, you know.
Some Jersey dudes, they come move to your block, and all of a sudden, you run up with them.
Yeah, they're right. With the Modells a couple times. You know what I'm saying?
When has that ever happened in history? Somebody from another city just moved to your block, and you ain't running with the city, no, your block no more. You just running with these dudes. Like that?
That's real gay.
That's it.
It's a lot of Knicks fans in Jersey. Not a lot of Nets. Nets don't have a lot of fans here. They got a lot of so-called fans. A lot of Knicks fans here, though.
That's great.
I don't like neither, so it doesn't make a difference.
You know who disappoints me the most, who pisses me off the most on the Knicks? Novak.
Steve Novak?
Yes.
Is he not hitting the three consistent like he was last year?
He's not hitting.
I noticed that too.
Even
last year, I'm like, yo, he gonna need to get him a little bounce step or something,
right?
Or something, because him just sitting there, like if he can't hit that setup shot where he's
over
like,
for
that,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And
all
right, like this year he did try to step it up, but he's still too inconsistent for me. Like
right.
I need. You know, you remember how on those teams where you got no disrespect to all of to the white listeners where you like if there was a white boy on the team and he shot that three,
like a Steve Kerr or a Paxson.
He was hitting that. You leave him open.
Like
sorry.
A Craig Elo,
You
were scared to see the ball in their hand. Right. Right,
right, and Novak don't give us that, and I feel a little bit chipped about that.
Okay, what do you feel about as far as with J.R. Smith?
J.R. Smith is my boy. I don't care what nobody say about J.R. Smith. I'm running with J.R. Smith.
Okay,
that's
I mean, it was a game they played a couple nights ago where he had 36 points, right? And you know he's like that to me. He's like he's either on fire or he's not. Okay,
right.
He hit like four shots in a row. You know what I mean? Caught a dunk, bong bong. You know what I mean? Then it was like as soon as he got the ball, everybody knew he was taking the shot. The last two shots of the game was like, nah, he should have drove to the basket. I don't know. He bonds into the fact that he can hit that shot consistent, or just kind of like try to fool somebody because your game is take it to the hole, and you pull it up.
I mean, like, I feel like he should have took it to the hole and all of that, but, you know, I mean, like, everybody make mistakes. You never know how to be wrong. You know,
right.
You ever see that commercial with Jordan? He was like, he missed 1,000 and such a game-winning shot. Mm-hmm. Like,
That was Jordan. He was a great one. Like, I mean, like, everybody, you gotta take shots to make them. It just happens sometimes you miss them. You understand?
Well, he better be ready for the playoffs.
I can take a 36 point game from J.R. Smith, man. You know what I mean? And if he's contributing in other ways, and as far as playing a little bit of defense, you know what I'm saying? And as far as scoring is a given.
How many turnovers is he averaging?
Excuse me. How many turnovers is J.R. Smith averaging a game?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. J.R. Smith averaging the game. J.R. Smith. No, he's not in the top 40. So it can't be that bad.
Oh, well, then.
So, but what was your point?
No, he didn't turn over the ball lately. I didn't look at his turnover stats lately.
Mm-hmm.
I was
speaking to Rock was just basically like it's like a situation where is that one of the dudes that you would bring to the fire with you when that playoff like you said can't be ready for the playoffs? Is he one of those dudes that
I would bring JR with me to a fight.
Okay.
I would.
Single handedly turned a lot of balls with a 16-point lead that Nick said it had 16 point, and LeBron just punked JR and just punked JR and just.
Well, LeBron is a truck. I just move and let him go by.
He's
big.
I mean, like, in my mind, I ain't moving. Like, in my mind, like, the me that's the imaginary basketball player in me. Like, I'm not moving to let nobody go by.
That wouldn't happen. He'd just have to run over me.
DeAndre Jordan did Brandon Knight.
What do you want him to do? Why play defense on a guard if you're scared of getting your ankles broke?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
that's right. That's right. That is absolutely correct.
I think that look better against JR pulled it all in that loss. Because, this is just like, are you kidding? 16 points. It happens, but it can't happen in the playoffs.
It happens.
It can't happen in the playoffs. It cannot happen in the playoffs. You have a free.
It happens now,
but it can't happen in the playoffs because you ain't going to win a playoff game like that.
Yeah, but again, it's if you get that out your system, because that's how I feel about Syracuse right now. We down the drain right now. I feel bad for my boys, but we hopefully get all that out of our system and we can make some noise in the Big East tournament. Hopefully, we can make some noise. I don't think it's over for us. I don't think it's over for us.
I wonder if y'all gonna make the Sweet 16.
I'm not worried about that right now. I'm worried about the Big East tournament right now. I'm worried about this week. That's what I'm worried about. If we can get out of this week, we'll be all right. You know what I mean?
Georgetown's going to win that. They ain't winning that.
I don't know. Stranger things are happening in the Big East tournament.
Yeah.
I just want us to make it to Saturday. We can make it to Saturday night. We'll be okay. Rock, did you get a chance to look at the fight? Bernard Hopkins the other night?
Oh, I didn't see it. I heard about it. B-Hop looked like an old dude from Projects across the street. He looked like Goody from Van Dyke. I saw a price with B-Hop. Looked like Goody from Van Dyke Projects. But, that's my dude, and I heard about the fight.
He gave it to Tavoris Cloud, man. He really gave it to him. He put on a good show, man. And I think that, it's just one of them things where he's just got it. I think that, they try to play him out because, they make a lot of about 48. But he's beating people, that's like 26 and 27 and 28. You know what I mean?
Right.
Tavoris Cloud, he averaged 72. He averaged 72 punches a round in his other fights. The fight against Bernard Hopkins, he only averaged like 20 punches a round. So, I mean, just going in, it turned him into a different fighter just going in. And B-Hop was schooling him. B-Hop was schooling him so hard body that he hit him and he cut his eye, and he told the referee,
that it was an elbow, and it was clearly a punch. You know what I mean? And B-Hop was doing his little tricks, you know what I mean? Turning away from the referee and giving it to him like, you know, touching him on his ribs and all that, whatever. And he was frustrating that dude. But, yeah, all respect to B-Hop, man, for holding it down and breaking his own record, man.
You got to be smart to be B-Hop. You can't just be talented. You got to be smart to be B-Hop. Because son is his whole fight is cerebral. He be cheating and all that.
He cheats. I mean, but it's little subtle stuff. You know what I mean? Because you've been noticing.
That's what I mean. Like, hey, it's only if the ref ain't see it.
It ain't happened.
Right.
No
so
doubt.
You got to be smart to be B-Hop, and that dude ain't smart like that.
Yeah, I mean, he had his little moments or whatever, but I think that every time he, you know, B-Hop was, you know, giving him angles, you know what I'm saying, and he was beating him to the punch, and he was just, you know, he was showboating with him, and once the fight, he knew he had the fight in hand and was over with, you know what I mean, and the dude couldn't do nothing with him, and then after the fight was over, he had cuts over both his eyes. And you know, after the fight, you know, he went over there, he spoke with Andre Ward or whatever. He's like, I don't want to fight you, whatever. But he was like, he was giving it to Don King. He's like, he said that before the fight, he's gonna put Don King out of business. And Tavoris Proud was like the last fighter that, you know, was on that was in Don King's stable, the last, you know, big fighter that was in his stable. So he's like, oh, I'm putting you out of business, you know, because he used to deal with B-Hop, you know, and you know how Don King, I guess, is catching up to him or whatever. But, yeah, man, B-Hop to this thing, man. We here, man, live right. And direct, man. GQ Palace Radio, after further review. We got Rock This Monster, Helter Skelter in the building. We got Q on the line, T's in the building, Mike's in the building, Angie's on the line with us. Shout out to all the listeners, man. We see you, too, man. It's the mayor doing his thing on the Tuesday night vibe. So, yeah, man, one more game before we get out of here. The Lakers, 93, Orlando, 82, like 5 minutes left. So I guess the Lakers are going to win again. You know what I mean? Respect to them. They doing what they're supposed to do. Another game over 500 for the Lakers.
I'd be glad when Kobe retires so I could cheer for the Lakers.
You'd be glad when Kobe retires?
He ain't retiring. But we don't take membership.
Let me ask you, Kia.
We ain't taking a membership.
Kia, let me ask you a question. I got posed a question earlier this week. Is Kobe Bryant overrated?
You know, pretty well Kobe ain't overrated.
I'm asking you. I got asked that question this week, and I said no, Kobe Bryant is not overrated.
Well, you tell that person to call me. I tell him whether Kobe overrated.
You know how she feel about Kobe.
That was real calm. That was real calm. Applaud her for that being calm. I thought she was going
to... I really
didn't want to bring it up.
I'm going to say something.
For that. Yeah.
I'm going to say something because I'm going to sound like that girl, that female, jumping the conversation. She's going to tell me, I can't believe y'all let my team and expansion team beat y'all. When I was wondering what she was talking about, when she said expansion team, she was talking about the OKC.
The Thunder.
And I don't like people who are sensitive. You're sensitive, you can't get on my platform.
Right.
I kind of told her off when she can't even look my way no more. Okay, they talk about my legs and you don't know what you're talking about. You better believe I'm going to embarrass you.
Did you at least inform her that they was the old Seattle Supersonics? Did you at least tell her that?
I looked at her and told her, walked away and told her, ever come on this platform, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Did you at least tell her that they was the old Sonics?
Yeah.
But you know what? Tell her to keep hope alive because the Sonics are coming back. Just tell her the Sonics will be back. So, you know, the Sonics are coming back. But, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, let me ask a question. The question that we were supposed to get on the topic tonight was supposed to be, do you think that teams have a right or fans have a right to have as much access and know everything that's going on with their teams?
The fans?
Yeah, do the fans have a right?
Why not?
Because
money we pay for games.
Let me tell you, there's GMs in the National Football League that think that the fans' access to the team should be restricted. Like if a quarterback is hurt or if a receiver or somebody on defense is hurt, the fans shouldn't know that.
Yeah,
and I think that's God. That don't even make sense. Why be a fan of the team if you don't know what's going on with the team?
That really doesn't make sense.
People pay a lot of money to see these teams playing. not just the money, it's the timing as well.
Right, and not only that, they have reporters that all their job is to follow the team. And
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't understand. You know, and the guy was like, "Well, you know, it's too much information, and the fans are not privy to everything, and they're not supposed to know everything that's going on with the team. Then why root for the team if you don't know what's going on?
Why root for exactly? If I can't know nothing about you, what am I do? I'm gonna bet on this team, but I don't know if he has a good what's going on with his quarterback or not. Oh, that's stupid.
I didn't know his ankle was twisted in practice or
yeah.
You know what I mean? He hurt his elbow
right.
Or whatever.
Know
you know what I'm saying?
You never know, that's the same thing.
As far as like
with their personal lives, and stuff, yes, you know what I'm saying, what's going on with their baby
right,
mom
right,
and all that
right.
stuff. That's something different. You know, I really don't even want to know all that. But
absolutely.
As far as them as players and the team and all that stuff, sure, the fans should know.
Okay.
Because
they felt like, you know, they felt like with,
tell them.
They felt like really with his, I guess his point being that even with, you know, with, the social media, like with Twitter and Facebook and all the little social media access, it's like it's too much information going on out there, and it's like a lot of times, like say for example, a little beef that Richard Sherman and Darrell Revis had on Twitter, like the general managers, they didn't even know nothing about that. And the NFL now they want to get into it like they was cursing each other out, and it wasn't really about that. They was just going
but
back and forth
look,
on each other.
They have control of their Twitters and all that stuff. They put that stuff on there.
I agree
that
with
that.
That
ain't got nothing to do with the fans.
I agree with that because I don't agree that any player should be tweeting or Facebooking before. I can get no concentration. I don't like reality shows. I don't think any player should do a reality show when you play football. I can't
talk
about that. That would piss me off. I'm still pissed about the Odom deal. That's still going to always bother me until I run across Odom. I got to run across him for the sake of the heart. So I definitely need to run it for him. Reality show. What you going to reality show?
Well, I mean, again, like Andy said, to me, that's just over there. That's outside the lines. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if he's not performing on the court and he's got an ankle injury, I don't care if he, forgot to buy spaghetti sauce at the grocery store. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But if you're not performing on the court because your ankle is sprained or you hurt your elbow or something, as a fan, we have a right to know that because I have a rooting interest in my team. Tom is sitting on the block and say, my team is better than yours, and I don't know what's going on with my team. I sound retarded.
You're on your team website, you're going to know what you're on your team, anytime you know about stuff, I know everything what's going on in the Lakers, inside the Lakers camp, because it's always posted in the Lakers website.
I got you on being a fan and having the inside scoop on your team, but what about all the other teams?
I don't care what's going on with the other team. I'm playing on my team.
Yeah, you do. Because if you're playing a team, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know what's
going
on with the other team that you're playing.
I can tell you something. You have to know what your opponent is working with as well.
I think that's the point right there. You got to know what your opponent is doing.
It's not got nothing to do with no pool. It don't have nothing to do with none of that. All I'm just saying, as a fan in general,
if you're a fan in general and you follow a team, okay, what right does the team have, you know what I mean, to say that you don't, you're not privy to information that's going on? If a player on your team got hurt.
Let me tell you something. If the Lakers are playing the Bucks tonight, I know who's playing for the Lakers. I don't know who's playing for the Bucks before the game starts, 20 minutes before the game. I'm fine with that.
Okay, so if the Lakers are playing the Bucks, right, and you're saying, okay, we're going up against Brandon Jennings, that's your mindset. We got to play Brandon Jennings. We got to play Monte Ellis. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so what happens? Hold on. What happens when Monte Ellis is not in the starting lineup? You're like, why is Monte Ellis not in the starting lineup?
You gonna know if he's not in that starting lineup because before you even watch that game, you already gonna know what the Buck status is about him playing if he is active.
But if you don't have access to what's going on, you don't know nothing, and that's the point. That's the point. You're not even listening. If you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's going on until they get on the court.
But
because there's been plenty of times in baseball games where they announce a starting pitcher and then somebody else ends up starting the game. And you're like, why are they starting the game? Oh, somebody caught a blister in the bullpen. Or he hurt his finger in the bullpen. Or he twisted his ankle in the bullpen. You could be at the game. You could be at the game. Plenty of times I've been at Yankee Stadium like, who is this dude?
Everything is totally different in each sport.
It's not totally different. It's not totally different. It's not. No, it's not. It's not. The point remains the same. If you're a fan of a team, if you're a fan of a team, you have right to know what's going on with your team and every other team in the league. That's my point.
I
can care less about a football pool.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
I'm listening.
Listen to me when I said me. I can care less about anybody else's team. I don't care.
Okay, but that's you. Okay. All right. That's you. All right, moving right along. Meanwhile, back at the Reds.
They're saying that nobody should have access, none of the fans should have access to anything,
right.
Whether
that's
you like them or not.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
They're saying that we shouldn't have access to any team.
That's right.
We
should
know
have access
nothing about
to nothing.
It, which is false, because how am I cheering for something I don't know nothing about?
That's right.
That's crazy. What am
because
I doing? I don't know
what they were saying is that the access should be limited. Limited to what? That's why you have Sweetie Murray follows the Yankees. That's why you have beat writers for the Knicks. Every team has his own beat writer. Why? So they can communicate that to the fans.
Right.
Who read the papers, who follow them online or whatever. So if you eliminate that contact, what contact does the team do the fans have to the team?
They won't eliminate that contact. They won't eliminate that contact.
They're not eliminating it. They're trying to narrow it down. They're not eliminating. They can't eliminate
it.
They're trying to narrow the access down.
My thing is,
it can't work because, like Angie just said, they got Twitter going on, they got Facebook going on, so they can circumvent the system all day.
They got all this other stuff going on, and like I said, and they're controlling Twitter. You can only control your own Twitter.
And to put a perfect example on it, when Leon Washington got cut from Seattle today. He announced it on Twitter, and 10 minutes later, it was on Twitter via the NFL. So he announced it first before the news even broke. Leon Washington was like, "It's been good, you know. My time in Seattle was good. It's time for me to move on." And like, "Oh, what's this mean?" You know what I mean? And 10 minutes later, the tweet comes out. Leon Washington gets cut by Seattle Seahawks.
Well, wasn't that common sense that Leon just knew first before anybody else? Of course, he's going to be on his phone before the Seattle make the announcement.
But could he do that 10 years ago? Could he do that 5 years ago? That's my point. That's the point. So, like, so it's okay with you and Ocho Cinco is tweeting during the game.
No, I said, okay. We were tweeting together. I said, if Leon, before this is, everybody knows today, 4 p.m.
Right,
right.
Who was with us? That's right.
So if he tweeted what he knew, he wasn't going to know. Him and his agent are going to be the first to know before anybody.
But what if the Seahawks and the NFL said you couldn't do that? You know what I mean?
What if they
limited? That's what I'm saying. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to do, kid. That's the point.
They're not going to eliminate that. They're eliminated talk about throwing the game.
No. You're not supposed to tweet during the game in the first place. They got a 90-minute rule. After the game is over, there's no tweeting until 90 minutes after the game is over. There's no tweeting, no Facebook, none of that until 90 minutes after the game is over. That's an NFL rule. That's not a society rule. That's an NFL rule. So they're trying to limit the access where they're not supposed to be trying to tweet at all.
They don't want you saying nothing at all.
That's my point, kid. That's all I'm saying.
That type of talk, I don't care because it won't happen.
Right.
That's just the fuck that's going to keep on happening. And we're going to keep debating some nonsense. I can care less about nonsense.
Right.
Nonsense right here. I don't care about.
Right. But,
I don't care with nonsense. I don't care. This doesn't make a difference. I'm not going to keep arguing about whether they're tweeting with us. This is just plain nonsense to me.
Okay. So that's you. Again, he's keeping it on you. That's you. And that's fine. You know? There's nothing wrong with that, but it may become an issue.
Until the NFL is just going to happen, or the NBA is going to say it's going to happen, or Major League Baseball, until this is going to be a nonsense talk. This is what they're going to do. Until we see it in black and white, then I believe it. Until then, it's nonsense. I don't talk about stuff like that. I can get left.
Well, thank you for calling. Have a nice day. Yeah, so basically, again, like, it's just this point of the matter where they're trying to keep everything streamlined where they want to keep you in a box and control what you do, what you say, and anything outside of the NFL. You work for the Shield, you work for the Shield 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's the only point. And why, you know, why do they want to limit access to a team? And that means that, you know, a fan's not really going to have a root and interest if they don't know what's going on. And that's the point.
Exactly.
That's all.
So what is this NFL plan taking place? When is this NFL plan taking place?
What?
When is this NFL taking place?
I have no idea, but they're discussing it.
Okay.
You're not even supposed to be saying nothing because it's not in black and white, right? So it's not a conversation for you.
No, I'm
right?
You don't want to be
right?
I haven't even
right?
seen it.
I can mention what I want to mention.
No,
right?
I haven't even
right?
seen it.
You okay,
mention,
so if you haven't heard about it, and you haven't discussed it, and it's not in black and white, it's nothing for you to discuss. So you don't have to say nothing. But we're still having a conversation about it, but you said the conversation's not for you, and that's
you
fine.
I always have to scream when you talk to
me. That's fine. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, that's I think that's just it's ludicrus. To,
yeah,
to
it's crazy.
Even
why would they even come out the side of their neck and say something like that?
Yeah, that's some sideways talking. Like, you know what? I think they do because they try to cover up so much, try to be covered up. So you know what I'm saying? I think this is the way they think they can protect themselves.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Kind of like. Kind of like David Stern with the dress code, kind of like that.
Right, you know, there's always leaks, though. You understand what I'm saying? In professional sports and stuff like that, there's always a leak somewhere, either a leak or a weak link. So they can hide as much as they can try to hide as much as they want to. It's gonna get out, whether they tweet it or Facebook it or Instagram it. However they want to get it out, it's gonna get out.
And as much as they try
you know
to make
what I'm
the
saying?
Game.
So,
Yeah, and as much as they try to make the game, you know, so-called fan-friendly or whatever, it's really, you know, again, at the end of the day, it's about the bottom line. You know, it's how much revenue you could generate or whatever, but it takes the fun out of it. You know what I mean?
It does. It really does, because they try to make it all political. So
yeah.
It's, you know, we're like, come on, at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
And it
pays well to do it.
Everybody's not the same. Everybody's attitude is not the same. Everybody's personality
right. Everybody
is not the same.
Everybody has their own opinion when it comes to
and you
stuff
want,
like
and
that.
You want to treat, and you want to treat everybody like robots. You want everybody to dress a certain way. You can't wear your socks a certain way. You can't, you know what I mean? If you wear your socks a certain way, you get fined. If you do something like this, you get fined. If you, I don't understand that.
And see, that's like me. That's why, that is their job or whatever. And outside of that, I don't care what they do. I don't care. But as far as in the boundaries, I'm paying to see them or whatever. When it comes to that, when it comes to the sport or the game or whatever, I do have a right to know what's going on.
Right.
Like, how are they gonna try to stop that? That's they set tripping.
Because I mean, like the San Antonio Spurs, they had a situation earlier in the season where Pop, you know, their coach. Sat, you know, Tim Duncan. There wasn't nothing wrong with him. He sat Tim Duncan. I think he sat Duncan, Parker, and a couple of other people just to rest him. You know, and people went crazy.
Yeah, what's going on?
They went berserk because, like, it's like, okay, you know, they paid their money. I guess they got a point or whatever. You know, if they're not hurt or whatever. And you know, people wanted their money back because they, you know, they paid to see a game with the San Antonio Spurs. They figured they're going to get, you know, Tim Duncan. It might be the only time in their life they ever get to see a Spurs game. You know what I mean? And you just going to sit. I didn't really get that. Why, you know, they fined him and they made such a big thing about him sitting his players or whatever. But again, you look at it from a fan perspective. The fans are going to be upset because they paid their money. They hauled their money. That's what they want to see.
Yeah, that's who they really came to
so,
see.
I don't know. So, you know, they're trying to restrict access and things of that nature. They want to control it. They want to keep you under their thumb, but they're still telling you it's entertainment and you're having fun and do what you want to do at the same time.
Right.
That's kind of like the NBA when they used to have the stay-in-school program, you know what I mean, and everybody's coming out after their first or second year of college.
Yeah, they're taking them
out
of college.
You know, you're talking out of both sides of your neck.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, everybody's, you know, not stupid. Some people out there paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I support you and I acknowledge and I respect you doing the stay-in-school program and the literacy stuff and stuff like that, but you're not showing and proving with allowing all these kids to come out of school after their first year of college.
Absolutely.
So what's really good with that? What's really good with that message?
You know, I don't understand that you're not allowing kids to come out of school their first year.
Yeah. First year, second year, whatever. They don't finish.
Like they're
supposed to.
How many kids that they take, that they actually taken out of college that actually went back to get the degree? You
right.
have a few that did it, but how
some,
many?
You know, a few have done it. You know what I mean?
What's the ratio? What's the ratio of returning players?
Right, but the point,
you know,
but the point being is that, you know, they kind of like talk, you know, a kind of like hypocritical situation where they tell
you,
you know, stay in school, but yeah, still they snatch you out of school.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that it's like, what do you do? Which point do you take? Which point do you support?
But
do
see,
that,
that's
you,
like you were saying before, though. They want robots.
Mm-hmm.
They want
everybody
point,
to be.
They can take them and mold them how they
right,
want them to be.
Right.
And
dress you a certain
like
way. Make you talk
my
a certain way.
I don't think nobody's putting a gun to these kids' head or telling them whatever that they should come out of
you,
school.
That's, and that's right,
kids,
too. You're right.
These
you're
kids
right.
are staying in school whether they want to or not. So that's
but,
you typically
and,
like saying
okay.
whether they not.
You're
okay,
right.
You be,
you're right.
Shabazz Muhammad said my discussion here. Nobody told. They would want Shabazz to stay.
But, Kia, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this, though. What if they made a mandatory rule that you had to go to school for? No, listen. Hear me out. What if they made a mandatory rule, mandatory now, that you got to go to school for at least 2 years? At least two. I bet you some people wouldn't be happy about that. They're exercising their right, like you said. Ain't nobody holding their gun, no gun to their head or whatever. They're exercising their right to do what they want to do. But again, the message is on, the onus is on the NBA. If you're going to come into this league, you're going to have your education. And they're talking about it, but they're not being about it.
They flash all this money out. Eventually, they're going to leave.
Oh, yeah.
They're flashing all this money out. They don't care whether they have education or not.
And so that begs the question, whatever happened to the stay-in-school program, the NBA? Exactly. That's right.
Nobody is making those kids stay. And a lot of coaches will love
but,
kids.
But nobody's trying to convince them to stay either.
No, that's not true. I don't think that's not true in all sports. I don't think that in all that program. But some kids, like the Shabazz Muhammad, who's ready to go to the NBA, he's going to go to the NBA. He's going to go to the NBA. Who's talking to him?
Those agents are like sharks. They out there. They're like predators.
Kia, you mean to tell me that if the family is saying do this, go to, you know, take the jump, leave school, the agent don't have nothing to do with that?
Well, I said the agents are not the one that's pushing them to come out of school.
The kid wouldn't have an agent in the first place if he didn't think the kid was good.
No, let me tell you something. I think it's more the family when they see that they're. You got a lot of kids that been in the living urban areas that can't wait to play that 1 year in college and jump out to the NBA. They already got their mindset already.
I mean,
I already knew he was gonna play 1 year and they come out. I just did it. Come on, they got their mindset already back in the NBA once they play the 1 year.
But why go if you only go for 1 year? Why go at all?
If it's about you getting paid that bad,
you can go overseas. You ain't even gotta have a discussion about college. You can go right out of high school, go to Greece or Israel or Turkey somewhere and go get paid. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that, yo. If you take that route, you're considered not good. If you take that route, you're not considered good. So you want to go straight from high school, skip over college, and then go to the NBA and do what? Sit on the bench and get paid and be happy, and that's, and story done.
You're
going to sit there and you're going to be our practice player or carry our bags and be happy with this $500 million
that we're giving you. Shabazz Muhammad, I don't know about how he's going to think he's going to come out this year and go into the NBA. I won't know until he gets to the NBA where he's going to contribute to the NBA.
Right.
You know?
Right. We won't know. We won't know until Shabazz gets to the NBA. But he's playing great at UCLA. But he feels like he's ready to go to the NBA. A lot of guys really feel like they ready to go.
So is Ben McLemore from Kansas. But I hope Ben McLemore don't come out. I hope Ben McLemore stays.
They're trying to keep him to stay. And there's some parents who want their kids to stay. But it's up to him whether he's going to stay. We're supposed to say, no, you got to stay in school.
I don't know about that because I just think they come out better players if they stay in college. Yeah, that's all. That's all they asking. If you go to school, you're going to school for that experience. Of course, you know you're going to want to get the money and you're going to want. That's going to come. That's going to come.
They're not going to be the same. Edward Iverson, he was a different player when he came out. Of course, he did what he did. They're not going to be the same. A lot of guys are going to do the same thing. That's why Noel will be back for Kentucky. A lot of players will be back for their second, third year. Who knows? I don't know.
But at the end of the day, who would you rather be? Would you rather be Allen Iverson today, or would you rather be, let's say, a Kevin Garnett today? Neither one of them went to college. I mean, you know, Allen Iverson went to Georgetown, left early. Kevin Garnett didn't go to good school at all. So, who would you rather be at the end of the day, though? Look at Iverson now. Look at Garnett.
Yeah. Kevin is still playing.
So, like you said, kid, you really don't know. It's a crapshoot. However you slice it, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. If you choose to stay in school, you can stay in school 4 years. You know what I mean? Look at like Grant Hill.
And you come out and be the one coming to the NFL, and be the one player.
You could be, and look at Kenyon Martin. You know what I'm saying? So again, it's either you could be that dude, or you know, I don't know. Does school have anything to do with it, really? Is it just a stomping ground so you get to the NBA, and you either make it or you don't?
You know what? I think it's a guy who put in the hard work, who studies the plays, who go into the gym early, lead the last person to leave. Those are guys that's going to make it. That's just me. That's just my bottom line. The ones who want it more. They was not just not the ones who did for the paycheck. The ones who wanted more and thinking championship and on the right supporting cast, they're the ones that's going to last.
So are those the dudes that are more inclined to stay past 1 year, or are those the, you know, they want to stick
exactly
it out, or
those are the ones that are dedicated to basketball. They study the play. They in the film room. They're not leaving early. They're not on the Twitter. They're not on. They're studying. They're studying. They want to know the game. They're not in the show. They're not in the bars hanging out, flying all their people across the country and bringing all their people, spending all this lavish money. These guys gonna play some ball. Those are guys that's gonna last.
Right. Yeah. So we here, man. It's another one going down. AI is a perfect example. You know what I mean?
Perfect example. Traveling his people all around, everywhere.
Do you think he should have swallowed his pride and took that offer from the D League?
He should have swallowed it. He should have said exactly what you said. It was his pride. He was AI.
He was one with too much pride, for real.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes.
I like him. I always liked him, but pride will make you starve.
Pride will allow you to starve.
Now go ahead, Rock. Go ahead.
Is Iverson broke?
Iverson broke? He's got to get money. He's not broke.
I would hope not broke in the context that I'm broke.
This is my thing.
Go ahead, Rob.
Sometimes you have a dream to do something. Some people's dream is to play in the NBA.
Exactly.
And that's following your heart. That's more than following your mind or anything like that. That's about following your heart. So when it comes to something else, it's not that fulfilling. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you can't help what fulfills you and what doesn't. So when it comes down to somebody, all right, you want to play in Japan or you want to play overseas or whatever, all right, he could go over there and do money, get money and all of that, but it's just not that fulfilling. And
right.
If he's
exactly
broke, then he doesn't have to do that. You understand what I'm
right
saying?
That's true. That's
he
right.
Got he got a restriction on his money. He can only get certain money a month.
So he created an allowance for himself.
Huh?
He's on like an allowance.
His attorneys, exactly.
Right. Okay. So.
But that's smart.
So
if you're not generating anything coming in, you better limit yourself, or you're gonna be broke.
If the bottom line is for him to get back into the NBA, why wouldn't you take that step? You know, I mean, humble yourself. I understand what you're saying, Rock. You know what I mean?
If the
ultimate step is to get back in the NBA, you know what I mean?
He had to humble himself.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's kind of hard to. But I'm not a Allen Iverson, man.
That was his prime right there. You know, that,
yes, sir.
That hurt a little bit.
Yes, sir.
He just had too much pride. Pride will definitely make you starve. It'll make you starve. Like, oh, I can't do that. That's like somebody leaving a college with a degree right now and can't find a job in their field and won't take a job at McDonald's because they feel they're above it. But guess what? You ain't getting nothing right now. So what you going to do? Let the degree go to waste. Do nothing. Let the, you know what I'm saying, do nothing and starve or whatever. Or you're not working in your field anyway. So, you know what I'm saying, you might have to take a little less.
Something beats nothing every day of the week.
So, you know what I'm saying? And then they get mad because all the Spanish people coming over here getting the jobs.
If they're not doing that, the companies or whatever are outsourcing the jobs to the other companies, to the other countries or whatever. So it is what it is, man. But again, man,
you got Pablo Prigioni out here. We'll get somebody from over there, B.
As long as we don't get nobody like Timothy Moskoff, my dude.
I don't even know who that is.
I'm gonna tell you who he is right now. That's the dude that Vince Carter booked it on. The seven-foot dude from France. I know you remember when Vince Carter booked it on that dude, and that was the dude he was on the Knicks. That it was a Knicks draft pick. And that's what he's known for. Getting booked on. And Vince Carter had his little things on my man's head. He gave it to him. It was ugly, my dude. And everybody was like teasing because that was a Knicks dude, you know? Mm-hmm. Timothy Mozgov got buffed on so lovely. But yeah, man, everything is happening where, you know,
What do you think about Carter's career?
Vince Carter?
Yeah.
He's still doing his thing, man.
I mean,
I think he's about ready for retirement, personally.
Yeah,
I think he wants something else. He has always wanted something else, but you know, sometimes it's not pretty to a lot of people.
In regards to what, Kia?
A championship.
Oh yeah, I mean everybody wants that.
Is that why you think he's still hanging on? I don't know. I'm a fan. I like Vince Carter. I always admire his game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would wish he would be at the right team. If he would have went to the right team, it would have been boom.
Yeah, but everybody can't be Robert Horry, though.
You know what I'm saying? You just bounce
from team to team, you just collect the rings. You just go around the NBA and collect the rings everywhere you go.
Right. That's crazy. I think he's a little more deserving.
You got dudes like Robert Orton just bouncing around, just snatching up rings.
Yep, that's it. Big shot, Bob, in the building.
You're a big opportunity. You're a big break.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Because everybody, even the ones that carry the bags, is getting the ring. So.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. You know,
say that again.
But I be arguing with some Heat fans, and they be like, "Well, LeBron got a ring. How many Melo got?" I be like, "Well, how many Ori got?"
Right.
Put Ori rings next to LeBron.
LeBron.
Stop playing.
Well, it's true because Melo better get that ring soon. Like he definitely will be one up. He better get that ring real soon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really a thing to me. It's not really where it's imperative for if Carmelo wants to get a ring, his career is garbage. I don't think that's the point of the matter. If it gets a ring, it gets a ring. I just feel like you have to be in the right place at the right time.
I think what it is on Melo's plate is to get a ring. I disagree with you. They talk about LeBron with this ring and all of that. But you're not listening to me.
Every player's aspect and their goal is to get a ring. If everybody can't win a ring at the same time. What you saying? Is Kobe going to win a ring this year or is Kevin Durant? Is Tim Duncan going to go out with a ring this year or is Carmelo going to get it? Is Kevin Garnett going to get a ring?
I'm saying that's one of Melo's thing that he's
yeah, that's everybody's goal. I got you on
no,
that. I got you.
I'm talking
man,
about
me
now.
With that.
I'm talking about now. He got what he got 10 years in the league now. What he's up to 10 years in the league now.
Okay, and
I mean,
how many years was Jordan
now?
In the league before he got his first ring?
Who?
Jordan, Michael Jordan, MJ, 23, from North Carolina. How many years was he in the league before he got his ring?
Yeah.
We was having the same conversation last year about LeBron. When LeBron didn't
yeah.
have a ring, well, he's going to get his ring eventually. And da 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 da. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but yo,
listen.
We had a great show tonight, man. It's like 5 minutes left in the show. Everybody gets to, you know, I'm going to give everybody a little chance to say what they got to say before we get out of here. Roxas, man, I appreciate you hanging out with us, man, for the whole shot, my dude. I'm going to let you lead it off because I know you're busy. Everybody just say what they got to say before we get out of here, man.
I just like to say I enjoy having fun kicking it with y'all, and that's really it, man. Like, I could talk about any excuse to talk about the Knicks, I'm with it. Yeah?
Well, we here next Tuesday, man. It goes down. We here next Tuesday. You know what it is then. You know what I'm saying?
And I might just call. You know what I mean?
That's what it is, family. I appreciate you, my dude. That's what it is.
And I'll shout out to you and shout out to all of the ladies and all that. I love a lady that know her sports.
Yeah, hey, man, that's the thing right there. That's the beautiful thing, my dude. Yes, sir.
I'll come over to the Buffalo Wings one day or something, and that'll be all great. You know what I'm saying?
Do it up. That's what it is.
We got the same parties and all that. But, yeah, y'all take care of yourself.
Appreciate you, my dude. Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Rock this monster, health and skeleton in the building. Kia, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Nope, I'm just ready for March 6th.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do it up next week because you know why? Because you know why?
Because
the selection show is on Sunday. So Tuesday we'll be here to chop it up. And this week we're going to go into it, too. Angie, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Well, again, at the end of the day, it's all entertainment and all that good
stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. And I enjoy watching, that's all. And I enjoy kicking it with y'all, too, over here at the GQ Palace. Holla at me tomorrow.
That's what it is. And
come
for not,
on the line
hey.
Tomorrow. Come kick it with us tomorrow with Don the Zebras.
Okay, no doubt. I'm going to swing through. Listen, thanks for not calling at 954.
You remember?
I remember. I can't wait to tell you that. No, and Mike, what's good, Mike? You got anything to say before we get out of here?
I just want to say these females hogged the microphone tonight. I didn't even speak to my man, Hester Skelter, from boot camp because they was hogging the mic. Because of my peoples, man. But you know
what's
what?
What's the base of your voice, man?
Shout out to y'all. And you know what? What'd you say?
She said, put the bass in your voice.
I'll put some bass in there. I'll put a fist in your nose. Let me tell you something. Shout out to Hester Skelter and all y'all. Your great job, man. That's all I got to say. Go Knicks. Go Giants. Go Yankees. Go Rangers.
Okay.
That's what it is, man.
He's on his New York-ish.
Yeah, man. He's on it hard body, man. He stay on it, man. It's New York all day. New York all day. But, yeah, man.
New York
to the
South and wine.
That's what it is.
L-I-N-Y.
Is T still on the line? Yes, that's you. Yeah, T had grandma duty tonight, I think, so she just called to check in and all that. You know what I'm saying? So another week down, man. Once again, man, before we get out of here, man, salute, man. Definitely rock this, man. He hung out with us for the whole shot, man. I definitely appreciate that. I'm going to blow him up on Twitter and all that.
Okay.
Tomorrow
what's
night, late. Go ahead. What's your Twitter, my dude?
It's _ rockness _ ROCKNESS.
Oh, rockness. Okay.
Yeah,
so that's what it is. So, yeah, we did it up again. Once again, man, GQ Palace, after further review, man, we get it in Tuesday night vibes. Every Tuesday night, man, 8 to 10, it goes down hard body karate. You never know who's going to call in, man. So it behooves you, man, to get on the situation, man. 646-200-3838 is the master call. And if you want to press 1 to get in on the conversation, do it like Double Dutch, man. We go hard in here. You know what I mean? Like my man say, you know. Go ahead, Kia. What you say?
Are you doing a pool? I mean, are you doing a
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm working it out right now. And probably Sunday night, I'll have the thing up on after further review.
That you log in, you can log in and do your own.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it on ESPN. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So, yeah, once again, man, thanks for everybody for calling, man. Big shout-out to my man Rich holding down the whole situation, man. Shout-out to Miss Lavina and all that. Shout-out to Rachel. I see you. You know what I'm saying? Shout-out to everybody, man, all the listeners out there, man. I do my thing every day, man. After further review, I do my thing. We up to, like, number 202. I think that'll be the one for tomorrow and all that. Once again, man, it's the mayor, man. We had a great show. Can I get the applause button? Let me see if my man's paying attention. Hit the applause button for me one time. There you go. That's what it is, man. That's what we do, man. Every Tuesday night, man, we talk about it, and we're not no slouches over here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
If you're gonna talk about it, know what you're talking about. Next week, we're going to definitely get into some NCAA tournament talk, man, and we'll see where the Knicks is at. We'll see where the Lakers is at. And definitely, we'll see where you at. We'll know where you at because you're going to be right here with us on GQ Palace after further review. It's the mayor, and I'm out of here. See you next Tuesday, man. One.
Turn around, salute. This is what I tell them. I think I'm Brooklyn. Get to my face. I think I'm Bronx. Mr. Brown Place. I think I'm Harlem. I'm Matt L. Grand Projects. Manhattanville. I think I'm Y.O. Quiet down. The raceway to the square. Quiet down. Charlotte and Seymour. I'm that kid. I think I'm New York. Yeah, I'm that big.